program continues live on WBAP.
Local author B.K. Thomas with his second book. And what intrigued me about this story is his research that he did. This book is, and I've read it, and I thought it was very, very good. I've read both of your books. This book is about a soldier who comes back from his tour and then kind of falls in love with a Muslim woman, right?
That's right. He's out in the neighborhood, bumps into her a couple times, and things kind of take off from there.
All right. Now, what got me is what kind of research you did for this book. How did you learn about people that are Islamic, people that are Muslim, in our neighborhoods, in our coffee shops? Tell me what kind of research you did for this book.
Yeah, so part of the start of the story was actually somebody had come to our house right after Ramadan and dropped off a box with some candies. That's kind of how the story starts. And so it got me thinking about what would happen if a guy fell for a Muslim? And then what happened if that guy, since I'm a veteran, so I was like, what would happen if the guy was a veteran? So kind of got that ball rolling, and I happened to go to a coffee shop here in Plano, and then over there the owners were from Syria. And one of the sisters of the owners is a Muslim. So started asking her questions and kind of developed some of the storyline, kind of confirmed some of the things I had already thought from, you know, just watching news and learning through our culture experience that we've had. Kind of got the ball rolling, and then just even at coffee shops, I'd bump into people and I would, somebody wearing a hijab.
You literally would ask Muslim women?
Absolutely.
What would you ask them, and how would they react? Because I think they don't know you, you don't know them, and you're asking them questions about stuff that might be like offensive to them or make them.
No,
mad.
No, it wasn't offensive. It was just curious. You know, I would just say, hey, I'm writing a book about a relationship between a veteran and a Muslim woman, and kind of would like to know your experience here in America wearing a hijab. You know, what's that like for you? How does that work?
What did they usually say? What was the usual typical reaction? What did you learn on this?
Well, usually it was a positive experience. It was always they're happy to share kind of what their experience was. You know, I've run into these things. The lady at the coffee shop, she actually had a fascinating story. She had fallen for a guy who works at the U.S. Embassy in Syria. And so she had actually started dating this guy.
And he was a non-Muslim.
He was a non-Muslim.
Wow.
So she had actually lived that whole thing.
Holy cow.
And so she provided a lot of great detail about the stress of that, the you know, some of the family tension caused by it. And so great insight.
That's at the heart of this story with your book. It's called Her Name is Justice, author B.K. Thomas from the Metroplex here. The book is available through your website and is Amazon.com, bkthomas.com or Amazon.com. The tension that can arise between a Muslim father and his daughter when she starts dating a non-Muslim right here in America?
Yeah. So, you know, most of us don't know a lot of the cultural demands from the Muslim side of it. And we're pretty ignorant of what some of those are.
Mm-hmm.
And so within their culture, it's not okay to marry them on a non-Muslim. It's not an option.
They probably won't say that out loud.
Probably not. But we talked about it, you know. She said, no. You know, it's looked down upon. You get disowned, and so that's a real problem that they have if they enter in a relationship like that.
You have a guy who gets extremely jealous and controlling her brother, her younger brother.
Yes.
You have a father who gets extremely controlling and gets goaded on by the younger brother to do something about this and stop this.
Sure. Yep.
How much truth do you think there is to the story about a father and son being jealous, demanding for the average Muslim in America?
From the conversations I had, it seemed pretty realistic. It's a pretty common issue, and I think maybe even here, depending on how long somebody's been here, and I kind of address some of that in the book too, of how Americanized they've become, it may become less, you know, as they become less of a stress as they become more Americanized. But in like Syria or somewhere like that, where the culture is definitely ingrained, it's more of a challenge.
Here's what I have to ask you. As a veteran who served in Afghanistan, which we'll get into in a little bit, and as an author and doing research on Muslims and such, one of the things I thought about as I'm researching this, talking about you, this interviewing you for this book, is
the Muslims in Europe are virtually taking over. It's the Islamization of Europe. In Germany, in Great Britain, the number one birth name for the last 8 years has been Mohammed. They're taking over. And it seems like, it's bad over there. It's the Islamization. They're taking over. They want the folks there to change. They literally will become Islamic states eventually. But here, the Muslims coming here aren't. It's not the same ones. How much truth is there to, is it not the same coming from the same ultimate source? And are we not going to see the same things Europe's been seeing with clashes and cultural overtaking?
Sure, you'll see definitely more and more cultural conflict. I think my perspective on that a lot is, people say, well, what do you think about the immigration stuff and things like that? We're all immigrants. That's normal for this country. We all came from somewhere, except for those that were here already. So Thanksgiving, thank you for Thanksgiving.
Would you like to hear my story about Squanto?
Not right now. Not today. But my thought on that is, when we come over from... We travel outside the U.S., we come back. We have to go through customs. We get our stuff screened. We get our stuff searched for drugs or other paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. Not only bomb stuff, it's other stuff, right. As well, other contraband. So when someone's coming in from another country like Syria or somewhere like that, where they've got a lot of, radical problems.
Pakistan,
Afghanistan, all these places.
Saudi Arabia.
There should be some screening in place that helps, hey, these guys are okay, these guys aren't. I mean, I'm all for that. We do it to ourselves just when we leave the country to go visit another one. So we should have that kind of thing here as well. But they're not all bad people. That's the key. Even when I was in Afghanistan deployed, I hung out with local Afghanis or Uzbekis or wherever I was, and they're just humans. Just people.
You told me that, and you're a Christian, you told me that they will take the shirt off their back. And they're some of the best, sweetest people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
there are those that aren't. So we should be diligent and do our due diligence when people are coming in.
Am I right about when I talk about on the radio the forked tongue of Islam? Typically, we just hear one thing on the air, but there's another thing on another airwaves. It's always seems to be a forked tongue.
Depends on which media you listen to. If you listen to their media, it's very different than what our media
says. Even the same
says.
People. Sure. Like Clockmed, Ahmed Mohammed, the clock boy.
Sure.
His dad said one thing in the public, and said another thing here that were, it's like, sure. That seems to be Islam to me, a forked tongue. local author BK Thomas, your book is Her Name is Justice. It's your second book. This weekend is a special where you get a free read on Kindle, I think, of your first book.
That's right.
And the second book is available for Christmas, great stocking stuffer, bkthomas.com. Here's a story that came up today on the Examiner, Washington Examiner. I have to share this with you. 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed says that Al-Qaeda favors immigration to defeat the USA. The jailed architect of 9/11 revealed that Al-Qaeda's plan to kill the United States was not through military attacks, but outbreeding non-Muslims, immigration and outbreeding non-Muslims who would use the legal system to install Sharia law, according to a brand new book. KSM Khalid Sheikh Mohammed said that. And he knew that eventually enhanced interrogation like waterboarding would come under attack from weak-kneed U.S. politicians and media.
That's been around for a long time. There's hard jihad and there's soft jihad. Hard jihad is the attacks, the in-your-face things. The soft jihad is we're going to come in, we're going to take over the culture.
That's Europe.
That's the soft jihad.
And so that's
part of their plan. They have different avenues. These who want to radicalize places... That's part of their approach. They have those two different approaches. One's a long-term one. One's a short-term one.
That's the long-term one is CARE. They were caught unindicted co-conspirators in the largest ever terrorism fundraising case in American history, the Holy Land Foundation in Richardson.
Sure.
And they were on wiretaps with that. So that's why this is a fascinating read. The other thing is you tie in Garland. And again, this is current events fiction. You tie in the shooting. Mm-hmm. Explain to the extent that you're willing to, the shoot-in with Garland in the Prophet Muhammad drawing with this with your book.
Well, I'll just talk about part of his role in the story. Craig's role is he's a security guard as he's transitioning from the military, and so he takes a job, and some of those events happen there. And so part of the inspiration was after we went through that here in Garland not too long ago, it was just kind of on my mind. As the story was unfolding, as I was writing, it was just kind of a natural, oh, hey, yeah, this guy's in Texas, this happened, oh, let's use that. It's very current, and we've already actually gone through it here.
This is written into the story, which is pretty awesome, pretty fascinating. The book cover. Tell me about the book cover real fast.
Sure. The book cover is actually a... So the Statue of Liberty with the American flag behind it is actually a painting on a wall outside the U.S. Embassy in Iran. And so it actually... It just kind of with all the storyline and what's going on in the story, it's just a perfect fit. And the contrast of the U.S. Embassy and that painting is just fascinating.
You served in the Army in Afghanistan, correct?
Correct.
How is your book affecting other veterans? How's that impacted you?
Well, so my first one, I got a lot of feedback from some veterans, different Vietnam vets and things like that, who said that some of the circumstances in there and some of the through the pain of losing friends and comrades and things like that, it really got to him, really hit him emotionally, and it was really rewarding to hear.
BK Thomas, her name was Justice. His name is BK Thomas. His book is called Her Name is Justice. Get the book for Christmas, a free read on his first one this weekend, bkthomas.com or on amazon.com. Thank you. Look forward to your third book. All right, coming up next, we're going to get back into this woman who lost her child in the bus driving crash, and it's just horrific. We'll get into that. And then free meals for kids. They're calling for more free meals. All that coming up next on the Chris Kroc program on WBAP.